Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 37 of the Function Get Option Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show with your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my co-patriot, my cohort, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the Get Options Podcast, episode 37, WordPress World. Woo-hoo. We are excited to be here. And
yeah.
What's up, my man? I see snow out your window.
No, you don't. I told you there was snow out my window before we hit record. Yeah, actually, at the time of this recording, it snowed in North Carolina.
Crazy.
So I guess like down by the beach, they got a whole bunch down in Wilmington area. I don't know the rest of it. That's the only area I know by the beach in North Carolina. But they got like 5, 6, 10 inches. We got about an inch, maybe inch and a half. But the kids got a snow day, the first snow day in North Carolina. The whole district shut down last night, they decided, because, and this whole week it's been crazy. It's been so cold here that they have, we went back to the school on the 2nd and they got released early. They had a 2-hour delay because of cold weather, frigid temperatures, because of buses and stuff. They said there'd be a 2-hour delay. And then the high school got out 2 hours early because the heaters, the boilers were not working. So my kids went to school for 2 hours. And then yesterday, the day after that, they got out also early because the heaters were still not working. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so, and then today is a snow day. So yeah, they're gonna have to make it up over like spring break, I heard. Nope. Oh! So
those poor kids.
Yeah, or a Saturday or something. Yeah. I mean, or I guess you just miss a day of school. I mean, whatever. My kids are doing great on, knock on wood. That's me knocking on wood. And we had nice cool weather, winter weather, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
How you doing there? How's Jackson?
Jackson's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting like single digit temperatures.
Yeah.
But I'm still going out. I went downtown to work at a co-working sort of community space yesterday. It was frigid cold, but it was pretty cool, and yet the place was pretty empty, and the whole place basically to myself.
Yeah, I remember I saw you on video a couple days ago when you did that last week, when you did it as well. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Cool.
And didn't get much sleep last night, but
here you are.
Got up with the baby and watched an episode of Planet Earth 2 on Netflix, which is really good.
Have you caught up? Have you finished Breaking Bad yet?
Oh, no, we haven't got back to that.
Yeah.
During the Christmas season, we only watch Christmas movies, and even then, not that many.
That's
so we haven't
silly.
Got back to Breaking Bad. We're still a few episodes away from finishing the series.
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you about this one thing that happens.
Don't.
Walter makes
just
meth.
Just spare it. Just, no. I apologize, listeners.
Yeah.
My co-host.
Yeah.
That's out of line.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, and also I might be heading down. I think I'm pretty much going to go either way. I was asked to apply to speak at WordCamp Greenville. I'm headed down to Greenville in like 2 months, March 10th. They're doing a inaugural WordCamp one-day event, 100 tickets. So if you're listening to this, by all means, if you're in the South Carolina area, it's only 3.5 hours from me. So I'm trying to knock out those 5 WordCamps that I've never been to before in my predictions, right? That'll be
only 3.5 hours. That's so far. That's Chicago for me.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's, yeah. So, I mean, it's an hour past San Diego from my old one, you know, from LA to San Diego. So, yeah, I'm going to try to go. I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm speaking or not. I have no idea. So, I will be there. How about that? So, if you want to meet up, let me know. So,
okay. I found out also, I recently got my ticket that I'm going to at the end of February, Traffic and Conversion Summit in San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty excited about that. Never been to that conference or very many conferences of that that style. Or
are
that
you going to stay at the same Airbnb with the hot tub in the basement? And if so, can I come with you?
That's to be determined this time.
How many people are going?
From our company, myself, and one coworker.
Anyone I know?
John from somewhere.
Not Triple J.
No, different John.
But didn't you also say there's someone maybe going to Greenville from your company, from Sand Hills?
Yeah, that's John. Yeah.
Oh, same. Wow, he's traveling a lot.
I guess.
Okay. All right,
sure.
Well, cool. Let me know how that goes.
Okay.
Nothing really, not a whole lot in the news at the moment. I mean, obviously Gutenberg, all that stuff's still happening, but we don't need to talk about that right now. People on the move, aka changes. There is one here in the show notes, which you may not know about. Do you know Bridget Willard?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So she, I saw on Twitter yesterday, it's official. She's with Postmatic doing some marketing work for them.
Postmatic. So that's Jason Lemieux's company?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So she landed there doing some, helping them with some social and some marketing. That's awesome.
Well, congratulations to both Bridget and Jason.
Yeah. And do you know anything else about people moving? Because I don't.
Not at this time.
Okay. Hey, what you wearing? What you reading? What you drinking?
Right now, I am finishing up The Return of the King.
And, what is that?
But I did the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, never saw them or read them. I probably should, because I read a lot, as you know, business books and motivation, you know, that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't read a fiction book in a long time.
You know, I've come to the realization that I'm just not good about reading nonfiction.
Yeah.
Reading to me as an activity is recreation.
Okay.
That's just how I am. I grew up like just reading for fun, reading just
so did I
a lot of books, and anytime I pick up a book, like I don't know, that's my fun time. And
problem is, so there are so many books that I do want to read, even in the fiction genre or the category. And I just feel like it's a choice, right? I feel like, okay, I need to be growing and doing something else. But I don't, fiction can also do that, because I've even mentioned that in other podcasts where you should pick something to do the opposite. If you normally read fiction, then read nonfiction. If you read nonfiction, then read fiction. Mix it up. Mix up your brain chemistry there, you know. Not chemistry, but your method to approaching creativity. But should I read or should I see the movies, or should I read the books?
Both. Both are just fantastic. I love the books. This is probably the fourth or fifth time that I've read them, but it's been quite a few years. But I got some other good books for Christmas that I look forward to reading. So I'm trying to finish this up so I can move on to like these Stephen King books that I got, and some Malcolm Gladwell books.
Oh, see, that's nonfiction.
I'm really excited about those. I'm a big Malcolm Gladwell
fan. I used to be a huge Stephen King fan. I mean, I used to read everything he wrote, and I just started reading his books originally because I could close the book versus watching the movie. I felt like I could shut it off easier in my mind. You know, I didn't have to see it. It wasn't a visual thing, right? So anyway.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right, sure.
So what else?
Right now I've got a Jetpack WordCamp US 2015 t-shirt.
Fancy.
And my WordPress slippers.
Oh. I should have worn mine today. That would have been smart. Cool. And drinking coffee?
I am drinking coffee.
Nice. I'm actually same thing. So I'm wearing an iThemes hoodie. I was gonna wear my beanie from WordCamp US, but my kid's wearing it because it's snowing outside. And I'm drinking coffee. Good coffee today. I got some updated coffee. I decided to get away from the junk that I was drinking, and I'm gonna drink some coffee. But also in my WordCamp OC 2014 mug.
Ding. Oh, very nice. Yes.
And I'm actually reading. What's the book called? It is what's it called? Hold on. Say something while I go get this out of my bag.
Something while I go get this out of my bag. Oh, another thing that I wanted to...
Okay, what did you
that
say?
I wanted to bring up. It was just really funny, but you had to be there.
I missed it.
Yeah.
So I'm reading the seminal work, the classic, if you will, slightly updated, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I've wanted to read it for a while. I know about it, but Napoleon Hill is the one who kind of coined the term back in the 30s of a mastermind group. I know a group of people who get together to help each other, support, be accountable, etc. So,
you're one of those like obscure members of the population who find it alluring to become wealthy.
Yeah, I mean it's more wealth of knowledge than of finances. That I'm after. Or, I mean, if money comes with it, great. That's okay, too.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Move on.
Yeah. And I joined a mastermind with some people from, you know, on the ether. And, yeah, that's it, I guess. So,
yeah, well, that's what
I'm
wearing.
That's what I'm drinking. That's what I'm reading.
That was fun. That was really fun.
Wow.
Little, we should do this again.
A little salty, aren't you, this morning? That's apparently the word of the day, because my kids say to each other, you know, my daughter says it to her brother, hey, you're salty. Well, you're mean. I'm like, all right. So I'm using the word salty now. I feel so hip.
Wow, that's what kids are saying these days.
Salty, yeah. It's like, oh, you're so salty. Yeah, I'm like, that's weird.
Weird. That is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So is that it? We want to continue?
I feel like moving on.
Do you? Okay. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Tell me, Adam.
It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. Yes, I did, Kyle. And now it's time to give some options. You ready to go? Here we go. It's questions
time.
I'm
ready. I'm ready.
Here we go. All right, so I'm going to ask the first one for you to take a stab at. Do we know who asked this one? Who sent this one in? I don't have a name. Let me know if you have a chance.
This question was sent in to us by Mike Maurer.
Oh, Mike Maurer. Okay, good old Mike. All right. What are the different ways I can increase the profit margins for my service-based small business?
Cool.
Yeah.
This is a fun topic. Interesting. I'm curious to hear what you have come up with suggestion wise.
Yeah, options. We'll give options. You know, right.
When you have a service based business, and you know, in this case, it's an hourly based service business. Mm-hmm. What can you do to improve the profit margins that you have so that for the same amount, the same project, you're earning more profit without necessarily charging a higher hourly rate? Not straight line, just doing that. So, a couple ideas for you here. Number one, charge up front for everything and don't do the work. Just walk away, never do anything. All the money is then pure profit. If you want to, you can set up a bunch of phone numbers and alternate identities if you have to, whatever. But it's pure profit if you just, you know, spend zero time fulfilling the obligation and just collect the money. That's one idea. You could also, you know, in a similar vein, you could seek out vulnerable customers who just won't even know that you did nothing, and tell them, you know, their water heat compression regulator needs to be repaired and get them to pay you. Meanwhile, you just sit in their basement watching Netflix, tapping their wine cellar, doing nothing. Customer never knows that nothing was changed or updated. Target those customers who don't know the jargon you throw at them, sell them stuff. This is basically like what we're all getting those SEO emails or whatever in our spam folders, selling us jargon that we're not supposed to understand, tell us that we would possibly need, and then collect our money and do nothing. So there's an idea that will greatly increase your profit margin.
Those are two options. Yes, I will give you that. I can give an option. Option one, set up a dartboard, put up some random numbers on the top of the dartboard, like just, you know, 5, 10, 20, 100, and then take the dart, throw it at the board, and whatever you hit on that first go around, mark up each product accordingly by that a number, like times X. You know, like if you have a 20 or, you know, whatever, just start with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, and whatever you normally charge, if you charge $100, now just charge 100 times five. So now you're $500, right?
Sure.
It's an option.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah.
It also takes away the
research and the painful decision-making process, thinking.
And it changes each time. It's almost like you can gamify your pricing.
And you can overthink this stuff really easily.
You really can.
You don't want to.
No, not at all. Of course, if I may dive into something, some research I did on this for Mike was there's also, you know, when you come to pricing, you know, there's COGS, you know, the cost of goods sold, there's direct cost, indirect costs, time cost, employee salaries, marketing. There's these major elements there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, increasing your pricing might seem as an obvious way to increase your revenue, but if you increase prices, you have to make impact on your current and future client base. And how do you respond to that? How do they respond to the increasing in pricing? You kind of want a better value client. You want the client to have more value to you, and you don't want the low end clients necessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing quantity versus quality potentially. It's a trade off.
I'm with you.
So you know. you know, net profit is the margin, is the end result of a formula of revenue, cost of goods sold, operating expenses, like I said, direct, indirect, marketing, et cetera. So it's it's not easy. But another option versus just the dartboard from my perspective would be setting up a referral or affiliate program. Because if you have that, you reduce the costs that it takes to acquire that new client.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So referral-based marketing is ideal, or an affiliate. So it helps you build that sales team, if you will. Someone else is selling for you. You give them a piece of a job that didn't take you much to get.
Sure.
Okay.
That's true. That's true. And for these service-based businesses, you are spending a lot on
acquisition.
Acquisition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just, you know, soliciting clients and bidding projects and corresponding with the customers and just anything that can simplify that really, really does help and contribute to your bottom line.
Right. So, you know, and then, of course, do you have any, I mean, I have one more option there. So I do have one other one.
Yeah, I have a couple.
So my go ahead. You do one.
Okay. All right. One suggestion for increasing your profit would be to productize some of your services.
Dang it. That was my other one. I have a sub of that, but that's exactly what I had right here. So, okay, good.
Beat you to it.
Great minds think alike.
And let me rant on it for a little and you can fill in any gaps that I missed.
All right, go.
So how this works is, you know, it's kind of a hybrid between a product and a service. So, you know, a product is something generally that a customer knows the price of upfront and pays and then gets the product. So they're like fixed price. All right. Services, you know, vary a little bit more, but a productized service is something where it is based, it is a fixed price and the customer does know it upfront. And it doesn't really vary very much typically. So choose a service which is somewhat consistent for you. So it could be installing toilets or replacing windows or fixing creaky stairs. Or for web developers, it could be migrating sites to a new domain or setting up a job application form on a website or configuring a routine backup solution, etc. Auto mechanics are often very good at this with like the product type services galore, tire rotation, alignment, flushing the blinker fluid or flux capacitor calibration. All of these are still services, but really? Come at a fixed rate, which the customer knows in advance. So you need to look back at every time in the past where you have provided this service, whatever it is, curate all the bills you've charged for each time and then average out that total. So whatever that number is, the average price you've ended up charging for providing all this service consistently, take it and increase it a little and then start charging that as a fixed rate productized service. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you'll lose and end up making less than your current hourly rate for the occasional customers where it turns out to be more complicated than the standard. But if you price it correctly, you'll do better more often and more than make up for the occasional problem job. So we're playing the averages a little here. If you wanted to be really aggressive, you could even just price it at the high point, whatever your highest point is.
Right.
When productizing a service, you also have more opportunities to reduce your own cost. Mm-hmm. You'll naturally be able to complete the jobs faster, as will your employees, because you're repeating the same thing. You'll have an easier time hiring people and training them because it will be a repeatable task. You might even be able to reduce your material costs by investing in bulk materials, finding connections for great deals, or creating quick setup tools on your own. Like for developers, you may end up writing or hiring someone to write a migration script or configuration, which automates much of your process. So you could be selling a service called Migrate Easy Digital Downloads Products to another site for $250. And it may take you 5 hours and cost $50 every time you do it now. But if you invest in, say, an ultimate license of whatever tool you use and write some automation script, it could eventually take you minutes and cost next to nothing, and you're still charging the same price. So as your cost goes down, your efficiency improves, your profit goes up.
Right. Just because you're faster doesn't make you less valuable.
No, not at all. Not at all. And if you're more consistently delivering it accurately, all the better. More value, really.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean,
anything else to add on productizing services?
Well, I think besides the productizing the services is also to niche down, really focus niche down. Because, I mean, case in point, from my perspective, right now I'm doing web development under the Concierge brand, but I'm pretty wide. I'm pursuing lots of different types of sites, from some nonprofit work, a nonprofit site recently back in California. I'm doing a site for a client in Ann Arbor, doing another site for a guy and type. But they're all across the board, different subject matters, and that's fine. But each one of those, I mean, I have a base price that I start at for the most part, but then it's customized beyond that. So it's always going to be a bit of a variable. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, and I have an idea of a niche that I want to get into specifically. And I was actually talking to our friend Sarah about this, and mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, but it's like, if you just picked a niche in the web development side, if I was going to do law firms only, if I was going to do, or accountants, or just a specific, or restaurants, because that way you know exactly what each site needs. You know, that category is going to need the similar things. And mm-hmm. here are the five pages. Here's a process. It's going to cost you X. You know, and then you can, you know, it just makes it easier, like you said. It's just rinse and repeat. Is it boring? Maybe. Does it get boring? But you know, like anything else, if you can specialize and niche down, I think you
can definitely anything you can repeat helps. Over time, you can get faster at.
Right.
Anything you buy consistently, you can somehow potentially find cheaper sources or invent cheaper solutions. Right. I think looking carefully at customer perception can help you, and not strictly in productizing services, but just in like helping improve your profit margins. And there is the important question of which services you offer that you are actively promoting, which jobs you're trying to get. So broadly speaking, being more strategic about the types of services you pursue, the types of projects you pursue, can contribute to your profit margins. Because if you really think about it, there are probably some services you've had clients pay you for that they just wouldn't dream of trying to do themselves, because it sounds hard. And you know, you don't have to base your choices off of what you actually know is hard, but what the customer perceives.
Right.
You know the tricks of the trade. You find it simple. There are some jobs that you've done in the past where you're like, this is a cakewalk. I want to do more of these.
Right.
The customer doesn't ever want to do this. This is the kind of thing you put on your business card. You recommend, you just promote this as the service, because this is the thing that like you're just awesome at. And the customer perceives it as being quite difficult. There's a lot of good examples in web development of things that actually not that difficult, but the customers, beginners, people who haven't built websites before, perceive it as quite difficult, just right. overwhelming, way over
it's,
their
it's
head.
It's not what they do. It's what we do. It's what we know that makes it, that has that value.
We know the simple tricks of the trade. We've done it before. And we're like, it's a flip of a switch, but whatever.
And that's the thing. I was going to say, my last little note here was going to say about you can also upsell. If you can upsell what's a perceived value, that's what we're talking about right now, is an easy thing. So if you have a base price, let's say at $5,000 for a site, and it's in the niche, and you know you can get it done in 4 to 6 weeks after all the stuff is done, you know, after all the assets are brought in and stuff and wireframe. So maybe let's say 3 months, a basic time frame. You know, the upsell to that would then be maintenance.
Right.
Because maintenance, you have it's all automated for the most part. You know, you have someone to manage it. I mean, but you can set things up to be pretty routine. That's an easy upsell for an extra, you know, $1,000 for the year, or 15, whatever it may be, or even, you know, $50 a month or hosting. Mm. Also an easy upsell. Right.
I'm so glad you brought up upsells, because that was huge. Mm-hmm. When you talked about client acquisition already. Mm-hmm. It's so much more efficient and profitable for you to continue working with an active customer than it is to acquire a new customer.
Absolutely,
in almost every case.
Right.
And so upselling additional services to an existing client that you've already begun working with is totally the way to go. There's so many things that you can do in web development. When I was consulting more, I was upselling all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Getting creative. Clients aren't typically that imaginative on what they can do on their website. So I'd be like, hey, you know, have you thought about just like putting a job application form on your website for new employees?
Right.
Oh, okay, sure. There's another couple hundred bucks for me to add that. Have you thought about, you know, just letting your customers set appointments through your website? Or have you thought about listing your product catalog here, or having, you know, this feature or that feature, or allowing other employees to publish content on your site? Just adding these features that the client didn't think of.
Right. And it takes some experience of running the business and knowing of options. I mean, you know, and I think of it all the time. That's one of the things I've been doing more and more lately is I'll talk to somebody who calls up with a question or a current client, and I give them these options. Literally, I'll say, you know, here's things we can do. And they get excited. They get the big eyes. And then I give them a price, and the big eyes go away a little bit, but then they're like, okay. And then they try to do it themselves, sure, possibly, and then they call me to fix it. So
yeah,
it's a win-win-win. Anyway, so
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Good stuff. It was good. Stuff. That was pretty thorough.
Yeah, I think we're good there. Okay. So the next question is, it's an audio that we got when we were at WordCamp US. So this is from Cheryl. Here's a question from Cheryl.
How would you explain WordPress to someone who's never used it before?
Okay. Wow.
Super fun.
Well, I would start. I mean, I have two basic options in this one, really. Well, I have three. That's not true. I have two basic and then one other, if you will. Option one, I would explain it in English.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yep, I would. I think that's my best option. Well, not my best. That is a valid option for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So you would use words, like use not words. Like hand gestures.
Correct. Right. You want option two that goes along with that one?
Yeah, okay. Hit me with option two.
Slowly in English.
Oh.
I've been known to be excitable, and I can get going pretty quick. So I would slow things down.
Right. You know, it's true that both of us have received on numerous occasions feedback from listeners about talking fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think from now on, I'm just going to slow down from here on.
Yeah, not too much.
Okay.
Because we still have to listen to each other, and I just let's pick up the pace. Let's go.
Okay. So those are my first two options out of my three. What do you got?
Super fun. All right. I was reflecting a lot on what WordPress is, and I love analogies and tying WordPress into things that people might relate to. So WordPress is like an egg.
Oh.
Because there's just so much you can do with it once you open it up. See? WordPress is also like bacon, because no matter how you prepare, it's still better than everything else. WordPress is kind of like a jelly donut, because the really good stuff is on the inside once you log in. WordPress is kind of like coffee, because it is equally capable of bringing peace and clarity as it is of causing anxiety and sleep deprivation.
True. That's my favorite so far.
WordPress is like the pancake breakfast at our local community center. You have to use cash. WordPress is like waffles. Everybody puts their own toppings all over it, but underneath it is still an ordinary waffle.
Or it's also a pancake with ridges.
Well, when you look at it that way,
yeah.
WordPress is like a hot dog. You like the end result, but you're better off not inspecting very closely how it was made. WordPress is like ketchup, because there will always be some people who look down on you for using it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
You think ketchup gets that bad of a rap?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on what you're putting your ketchup on.
It's no Dijon mustard, but still.
No. And Matt Mullenweg said years ago that WordPress is like a mullet, because it's business in the front, party in the back.
That's so bad.
It's got that great admin interface.
Did he really say that?
Really? He said that years ago at some keynote or something.
Oh, my gosh.
But just illustrating the point that the strength of WordPress is in this intuitive, simple, but powerful admin interface. And that's really all WordPress is like a layer in between your front-end templates and your MySQL database.
Right.
That's all WordPress is. WordPress is software, free, open source program you can install on your server, and it provides you with this interface for, you know, working with a MySQL database in a more simple, elegant way than just like directly entering data into a database.
Right. So
you get this nice web page.
Right. So I always give it my third and final option is how I would explain it is. In the standard fare, when I've done this in the past for WordPress for Business, when I talk at the SBDCs in the past, I always use the example of Microsoft Excel, because most people know about Microsoft Excel, a spreadsheet, if you will, and how everything in there is a cell, and every piece, every cell is a piece of data, and that WordPress is the front end of bringing that data to the page based on when it's queried, also known as a request. And it's faster than running a flat HTML page consistently. Like, that way you don't have to load every element every time if it's not required. That's how I explain it.
Sure.
Yeah. And most people, 95% of people who use WordPress, non-developers, never see that database. They don't see the through PHP by admin. They don't see that, you know, that data in the tables, right? You know, and there's no reason to. We go into it now and then because we got to fix things because we've broken things, you know. So, what are you eating, by the way? What's that cracking?
Oh, sorry, it's a chocolate orange.
You know, I can hear that.
Oh.
We're recording right now, just so you know.
Are we?
Yeah.
This isn't just like a rehearsal?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about explaining what WordPress is right now.
Yeah. It's going to change. It's changing.
Well, it is constantly evolving. It was simpler to describe it.
It was a blog.
Years ago.
It used to be just a blog, if you will.
But now it's become so ubiquitous and just like so huge that it's being used in the real world for almost anything you can imagine.
Right.
So we end up making these broad statements like it can be used for anything. You can do this and that and this and that and this and that with it, because that's true. There are people using it for building mobile apps and SaaS applications and blogs and intranets and just crazy stuff that it wasn't envisioned for,
right?
But does make our explanation of what WordPress is quite like overreaching and ethereal. It's become difficult to distill it down to something simple. I guess you could call it a publishing platform.
Yeah, I mean, when push comes to shove, it's people say, "What is it?" I say, "It's a web page platform." I use it to build web pages, websites, not sure. pages, but websites. That's the easiest way. Because if they want to know more, then it's a content management system. It's a CMS, which is a fancy word for a database, which takes me right back to like a Microsoft Excel or a spreadsheet. Every cell has data in it, some sort of data, a photo, a video, text, images, you know, whatever it is. And then it gets pulled up here based on the code in the back end to show in the right place at the right time.
It seems like when for passionate WordPress users like ourselves, like such an oversimplification of this robust tool.
Yeah.
It's not just this like data. It's not just like a pretty CRUD layer in between the web pages and the database for like saving and updating and deleting. It's got so much more. It has like elegant permalinks and like a user authentication system built into it. That's very user roles and capabilities and media storage and
plugin
infrastructure, Kyle, and theming.
It goes back to, if I think that maybe the best answer, the best option is, or maybe it's a riff of it, but code is poetry. How do you explain WordPress to someone who doesn't know? And answer your question, maybe it's poetic. WordPress is poetic.
You know, I just watched a video on WordPress TV yesterday. Huh. Boone Gurgis, whom you've met, I think, a couple of times.
Yeah, I have. I know Boone. Yeah, I do know Boone.
Yeah, he did a great presentation at WordCamp Europe this year. And it's on WordPress TV. And it's all about that motto that we have, code is poetry, that the WordPress community has adopted. It's an awesome, awesome presentation. And it offers some critiques of that motto and some just like fun insight. Just super great. One of the best WordPress TV presentations I've watched in a long time. I recommend it.
We should link to it in the show notes. You should paste it in there for me.
That's all I've got on this question number two.
Okay. Well, but as far as Boone's WordCamp TV talk, make sure that link gets into the show notes.
Can do.
Okay. Okay. So WordCamp. Question three. Oh, yeah. Who do we know sent this one in, I wonder?
Oh, this was... who was this?
I don't know.
Shoot.
I don't know. But while you're looking it up, I'm going to ask the question. What is your favorite cut of your favorite Metallica song?
Sure.
Yeah. And this is obviously... might be harder for you. I don't know. But so, as you know, and as the audience may know by now, I mean, I was never really, I'm not a huge Metallica fan. I don't know much of their music as much as you do. But apparently, so I did some research here. And I have a favorite cut of a favorite Metallica song at this point.
Do you?
I do. I took some time. I did. I took some time. Surprisingly, I know this is going to shock you because I've surprised you a
nothing
lot.
Nothing you
life.
Do shocks me anymore.
Right on. Good to know. So I've listened to and watched a couple dozen Metallica songs. And
no way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I'm going to start off. They scale up to the good, better, best. So I'll do my first two and I'll give you my final one. But Blackened from And Justice for All.
Oh, I love Blackened. So good.
That opening is. I'm taking my best cut being from the opening up to a minute, let's say, before lyrics start. Really, I just like that. Okay. You know, Blackened was pretty darn cool. I gotta admit, it gets the heart going, gets the, you know, all these are really adrenaline based. You know, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to add some of these to my running workouts because these were really helpful.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Ian Wilson, for this great question, inspired Adam to get into it.
So my second. So that's my first. I thought that was my first, but as I kept listening, it's hard because there's so many variations and so much what's minutia that's different in all these openings. Anyway, the next one was Master of Puppets, that first minute.
Ah, can't beat Master of Puppets. Yeah. Oh, so good.
And then I'm not going to tell you my third and final, and my favorite. I want you to hear your one or two. What do you have? Do you have a favorite or do you have a couple?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, Metallica has such an extensive catalog, and I am intimately familiar with front to back, all of it.
Okay.
Everything, even the new albums. I actually saw Metallica this past year in concert for the first time.
Yeah.
And that was just an amazing bucket list experience. And maybe my favorite thing they did live was Fuel. Actually, that was just phenomenal. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. It was so good up on the stage. Everybody was rocking and crowd surfing, and we were pretty close to the stage.
Nice.
That was pretty good. A few others that just really stand out as hitting me very consistently when I listen to them, because man, I've listened to this stuff a lot. I always like the chorus of Bleeding Me, especially on the S&M album that they did with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
That was a pretty sweet album, one of the first that I ever got, and got me into a lot of stuff. The Master of Puppets is amazing. The intro, very powerful and super, super cool, but also has like that super melodic bridge part.
Yeah.
My brother George, we kind of learned to play instruments together as teenagers, and I was really into this stuff, and I would be like, learn this part so we can play these guitar harmonies together. And he was a pretty good sport about it. And still to this day, like when we pick up guitars together, you know, one of us will start playing Fade to Black and the other will play a harmony or Sanitarium or Master of Puppets or something. So all of those take me back to being a teenager in our room and just playing guitar, learning guitar together. That was really fun. And intro to Fight Fire with Fire on the Ride the Lightning album is just so intense.
That was in my top five, but I took it off because I wanted to share the top three. So yeah.
There you go. What else you got?
So my final one, and I think my favorite of all the ones I listened to, was starting at the 25-second mark up into 55 seconds of the intro was Sad But True.
Oh, Sad But True. Yeah. That's so heavy.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm a dark soul.
It was really different too. That was a bit of a departure from their style, because that was their first album in the 90s, and they changed it a little bit. And the riff was originally written significantly faster. They decided, I think it was Bob Rock, the producer of the Black album, who suggested like really slow that riff down in Sad But True, and it just sounds so cool.
Do you have any more?
Intros are really strong for Metallica songs. Yeah. That's one of their strengths. So a lot of mine are just like in the intro, like Fade to Black always gets me starting off. Seek and Destroy from the Kill 'Em All album. Yeah, that was one of the first licks that I ever learned. And the solo on Nothing Else Matters is one that I still love to play on the guitar. It's just, I don't know. It just hits just right every time.
Interesting. Good. Interesting question. And it got me out of my comfort zone, if you will, for styles of music. So you're going to play something right now, are you?
No, you just keep talking.
Okay. So.
You're supposed to keep talking.
Oh yeah, I don't have anything to say. I just want to. I'm in awe of your skills. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. So
you play the you. Do the conclusion, and I'll just give you a backing track.
Okay, we're gonna. I guess I'll wrap it up here. All right, so thanks for your questions. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you may have at questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use the SpeakPipe feature on our website. It's fantastic. It's right there. It's up in your face. You can find us each online. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver, also KitchenSinkWP.com. We're on Twitter at Get. What is it? It's at @get_options. And we'll see you next week. I'm gonna let Kyle play it out. That's it.
Okay.
We're out.
That's it.